Our gospel this morning is from the gospel according to John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Father God, we come to you this morning at the start of a new year. Many of us have possibly made decisions to change something in our lives, New Year's resolutions. But Father, I ask that our New Year's resolution may be to walk with you, to walk daily in a closer walk with you, in everything we think, everything we say, everything we do. Let us walk with you. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've looked at the first chapter in the Bible and the last chapter in the Bible and the middle chapter in the Bible. And Psalm 118 is a beautiful psalm. Before Psalm 118, we have Psalm 117, which is the shortest chapter in the Bible. After Psalm 118, we have Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible. There are 594 chapters each before and following Psalm 118. If you add up all the chapters except Psalm 118, you get a total of 1,188 chapters. And incidentally, 1188, or Psalm 118 verse 8, also happens to be the middle verse of the entire Bible. The central verse should have a fairly important message, don't you think? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Now Bernie's going to go around everyone and give you a copy of that for you to keep. Just as a reminder, of just how great God's word is. Could you do that, please, Bernie? That's just an introduction for today's message. Now, while Bernie's doing that, I'm going to ask you to think on a question. What is God like? And there'll be no wrong answers when you give answers to that question. Because the answers you give will be your perception of what God is like to you. How you relate with God. What he means to you. I had my son Philip walk into the lounge room a few months back and said, "Dad, how big is the universe?" And I said, "You can't measure it, son." He said, "Right. Just consider, God contains the universe, so how big is God?" Is our perception of God that big? Bernie's got a roving mic. If you want to share with us your perception of God, just put your hand up and Bernie will come to you. As I say, there's no wrong answers. Come on, surely someone's brave enough. What's God like, Bernie? You don't know. Jenny's got a comment down here. Oh, okay.
What God is,
and that's it. Yes. Jenny's got a comment here, Bernie.
God is one. God is one. God is like we want him to be. You know, adaptable.
Mm-hmm. Gail? Yep. Leanne?
As a child, I had a my own version of doxology. I used to think Daddy's son of the Holy Ghost rather than Father's son of the Holy Ghost. Because he is my heavenly daddy. And my concept of him is like that of a small child before one realizes one human family members have failed. God does not have any failings, and he is totally God of all, just as a small child can lie in their human family.
Thanks, Leanne. John? Thanks, John. Can I ask a theologian what he thinks God is like?
God is Lord.
Good. When I was younger, there's a few people around me used to sing a song, "What's God Like?" And some of the words of that were, "When I think of God, he has a long white beard and he brings me gifts at the end of the year. But the big one comes in the by and by from the Santa Claus up in the sky." Another verse was, "When I think of God, he's like in a museum, kept under glass where I can go see him. It's such a comfort to know he's there, he's near to me and not off somewhere." Another verse, I only remember part of it. "When I think of God, he's like a silver lining." Although that does seem quite confining. And then someone says, "I think we ought to take a look and see what it says in the old, old book. For all of us have expressed our thoughts, what he's like, what we've been taught." God is light. God is love. God is faithful day and night. He is eternal. He never changes, though the seas rise up to swallow mountain ranges. God is interested in you and me, wanting us to be the best we can be. We're not perfect living the way we do, but he knows just what we're going through. God is love. God is light. God is faithful day and night. He is eternal, he never changes, though the seas rise up to swallow mountain ranges. Now one aspect of one of those verses spoke to me. All of us have expressed our thoughts of what he's like and what we've been taught. And I got to thinking about what we've been taught. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. I preached my first sermon when I was 10 on the streets of Bundanoon, and someone threw an empty pineapple tin at me. But I grew up knowing that God was something more than anyone could teach me. He was something more than anyone could teach me. He was someone more than anyone could teach me. And I set about searching out for myself, what is God like? And I hazard to say, how can we teach what God is like if all we have is an academic construct of God? We need to research a relationship with God in order to find out what he's like and what he can be and who he can be in our lives, and then teach our children and our grandchildren. There's a song that was popular by Crosby, Stills and Nash called "Teach Your Children Well." So how can we teach if we don't know ourselves? We've got generations that haven't heard about God. And they don't care. Why? Because they haven't been taught. In the Jewish tradition, a child studies and learns about their history, about God's relationship with his people, and then they have their bar mitzvah, where they testify what God is to them. Now in the Anglican tradition, we have the baptism and confirmation. But how many baptisms do we see today? How many confirmations? We need to be praying for our children and our grandchildren. We need to come before God and hold them before his presence with a yearning in our hearts that they may come to know who God is and teach their children well. If our children have wandered and strayed, don't give up on them. Don't ever give up on those whom God has given you to hold before his presence. Love them. You mightn't agree with them, but love them. I have a granddaughter who has walked away from God. But do I cease praying for her? No. Because when our children were little, God asked Pam and I to surrender them to him. And it was hard. But he gave us a promise that our children and our grandchildren would walk with him. Now I have a promise from God that I'm holding him to. And this granddaughter that has walked away from God, I'm not giving up on her. She may not come back to God in my lifetime, but until my last breath, I will hold her in prayer before God that he may move in her life and draw her back to him. Now all of us here, or most of us here, have children and grandchildren who are not walking with God as we are. Maybe we're not walking with God as we used to. Maybe we need to come back to God. Maybe we need a new, refreshing relationship with God. Bernie's going to hand out another sheet of paper now. And it's something I've used in ministry. It's a prayer encouragement. And I encourage people to do it every hour from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. God loves me. God has forgiven me. Then thank God for his love. Thank him again for his love. Pray for God's blessing in the lives of your family and friends and name them to God. Pray for God to touch the lives of your enemies. Thank God for his love. Then anything else? And then thank God for his love. And it ends with a verse from Romans For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. I'd encourage you to make this a regular prayer in your life. I know from experience that it changes the lives of people. And they grow in a closer relationship with God. And as part of that relationship with God, we learn to hear God. And our lives are a lot more interesting. Because we're hearing what God is saying to us. On Tuesday this week, I went down early and put my car through the car wash because it was a bit grubby. And I only had half a tank of fuel left. I didn't worry about filling that up. I thought, yeah, I can do that later in the week. A couple of hours later, I'm working at my desk, and I felt the impression from God to go and fill my car up with fuel. It was, do it now. So I went down to the Shell service station. I've got diesel cheaper than anyone else at present. I pulled in at the Bowser, and as I pulled in there, a beautiful, shiny, gleaming black FJ Holden pulled in beside me. And of course, having been the owner of an early model Holden myself at one stage, I went over and poked my head in the window to have a look. And it was a dream, this car. And there was a woman sitting in the back in probably her late 40s, early 50s. And the driver was a man in probably late 40s, early 50s. And sitting in the passenger seat was an elderly man. And he looked up at me and he said, "Stephen?" I said, "Yes." "Stephen Rendell?" "Yes." He could hardly talk. And he said to me, "I'm Barry Moschel." My heart jumped. I've known Barry Moschel for well over 50 years. I haven't seen him in over 30 years. He and I were friendly competitors when I was in TV business back at Moss Vale. We used to help each other out. But Barry's in a fairly sad way now. Many years of slaving over a hot soldering iron and breathing in fumes from resin core solder, he's got severe emphysema. But he got out of the car and we talked. And I said to Barry, because I was aware that this was a God appointment, and I said to him, "Barry, may I pray for you?" And he said, "Yes, please." So I prayed for him then. I don't know the results of that prayer, but I know that that was a God appointment that was set up for me. And it was important that I listened to God. It was important that I pray for Barry Moschel. He's in his 80s now, and he's not well. I don't know how many years he has left. But I know that this appointment was a God appointment. Because what is the coincidence of me being sent down to the Shell service station to fill up with diesel, and a man, excuse me, a man from Mossvale that I haven't seen for 30 years be down here for the FJ car show and pull in right beside me at the exact same time? That's not coincidence. That's God. And this is the relationship that God wants to have with each and every one of us. God wants us to be listening to Him and to know His voice well enough to act on it when He speaks. Shall we pray? Father God, You are our Father. You are our God. You spoke this world into creation. And You reminded us in the Gospel of John that when You spoke creation, the Word of God was there. The verbal expression of the mind of God. Jesus was that verbal expression of the mind of God. And He took on flesh and spent 9 months in a very vulnerable situation in utero. And the voice that spoke creation into existence is the same voice that had to learn to speak as a baby. Father, move in our lives, I pray, that we may learn to hear Your voice, that we may be sensitive to that still, small voice, let us get our priorities right. Let us clear our minds of the rubbish that this world would give us to think about. Let us grow in relationship with You, Father. For Jesus' sake.